Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll be looking at just one verse tonight. And several helpful, I hope, truths and principles that we can get from this text. Verse 9, Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So there you have it. There's the loophole. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't ever get tired serving God. That's what it says, right? Let us not be weary in well-doing. If you're too tired to go to church, stay home. If you're too tired to do some other duty, church, just stay home. Let us not be weary, right? Isn't that what it says? Let us not be weary in well-doing. You should never get tired serving God. Well, it seems like some folks think that that's about the way it is. But that's not it at all. It is one thing to be tired in serving God. It is quite another thing to be tired of serving God. It is the latter that God is telling us is a prohibition here. It is quite another thing to be weary of serving God, to get tired of serving God. To get tired in serving God is commendable. It means you gave everything. So think about that. How tired have you gotten in serving God? Now, I'll just tell you, on Wednesday afternoon, I said to my wife, "I'm glad today's the last day of these meetings." Any of you feel like that? Maybe you say that's carnal. It's not carnal, it's very human. We had to be out on Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. The meetings were excellent, very good meetings. But it's a drain, man. It's a lot to be out if you have busy days. Perhaps you thought that as well. I was tired in serving. I wasn't tired of serving. The meetings were great. The preaching was great. The music was great. The time together with you was great. The praying was great. It's great. It's just extra. Tired in the service. Tired in this idea of serving the Lord. Why do I bring that out? Why do I drill down on that? Because when it comes to serving God, everyone can be tempted to give up. Everyone can be tempted to think, "I've done enough. I've done it long enough. This is time for someone else to serve." It's very normal to think that. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't think that? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give up? Aren't you glad that we don't read that John the Baptist said, "Nah, you know what I mean, this leather girdle deal thing, I mean, I think I've had enough, you know, I think I'll just go down to Florida and play golf." Aren't you glad? Think of that. We live in a day, my brothers and sisters, where it is very acceptable to quit. To quit. To just give up. Say, "I've had enough. I've had enough." Tom Bannhalzer served for 20 years and he's not done yet. Now, that was the perfect time for you to say amen. Let me try to go through that again. Tom Bannhalzer has served as treasurer for 20 years, and he's not done yet. Amen. Oh, man, Tom. That was like a business meeting vote, man. Even Josiah, he's on it over there. We could ask the question, I think. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you just do that for 20 years? I put on the heartline, think, what have you done for 20 years? I don't mean even in church. I mean anything. Maybe the first thing that comes to mind is, well, I paid a mortgage for 20 years or something else. Well, if you did that for 20 years, it's because you value that house. It's because you don't want to lose it. It's because you want it. Because you were willing to pay that price. You didn't default. You didn't go bankrupt. You didn't let someone else take it and repo the thing. This verse is talking about serving God, and it helps us to understand how we can keep running all the way to the finish line. So there's three points in it that I'll bring out. The first one has to do with timing. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap and faint not. Due season. Serving God is seasonal. There are seasons in serving God. I'm not trying to say that sometimes you serve, sometimes you don't. What I'm saying is that if we are going to serve God effectively long term and just be faithful all the way till we see Him, we'll need to recognize that as we serve the Lord, there are different seasons of life and seasons in a church. Tom has watched this here in our church. There have been sometimes financially where things were really lean and really tight. There are other times where we had money in the bank. Which do you think is easier, to be the treasurer? it's a lot easier when you just write the checks, not when you say, well, okay, what should we do this time? Seasonal. If we're going to serve God long term, we're going to have to recognize the ups and downs of life, of ministry, and the fact that there are different seasons. Using the biblical metaphor of sowing and reaping, there are some times when we plant, there are some times when we reap, and there are many times where we just wait. We were talking with someone recently who did a whole lot of work because they wanted to put in a garden. Someone else had some equipment that they lent, that they gave to them, they weren't going to use anymore. They put in this big garden. Great, good for them. We used to garden quite a bit, especially when we had children at home, and we wanted them to learn how to work in the garden and wanted them to be able to see things grow and that sort of thing. But you know, whether it's a vegetable garden or a flower garden or whether it's just working around the yard, the reality is for most people, you go through the winter, you go through the dark time where there's not much light at night, things start warming up, the grass grows, the flowers grow, things happen, birds are out and all of that. And you want to get out. You know, a lot of people want to get their fingers in the dirt, kind of. But you know, it's one thing to start a garden. It's one thing to dig up the dirt and to put in some fertilizer and put in the seed and just kind of with anticipation, just watch that and see that start coming. It's one thing to kind of go in and just get between and cultivate around the rows to get out the weeds and keep things broken up and just watch it and it begins to grow and it grows and it grows. And it's one thing, man, it's a wonderful thing when, you know, let's say the beans, they just start coming. But if you have a good garden, you get to the point where you got to pick those beans every day, sometimes twice a day. And if you don't pick them, they just get harder and tougher, and pretty soon it's like, wow, I put all of this effort in and now is the harvest. I mean, you can put off cultivating, you know, you can put off weeding, you can put off different things, you can choose when you're going to plant. You don't really get to choose when you harvest. You've got to get it now when it's ready. And you know what? You haven't then come through the winter. You'd rather sit inside the air conditioning and sip on lemonade. And you put all that effort in, and it is very easy to just let it go to seed. And there's, by the way, nothing wrong with that. If you had enough, plow it under. Don't let it destroy you and your joy. You don't have to reap it. Let me know. I'll counsel with your wife, so she'll get off your back if you need. But you really don't have to. I mean, there's nothing. You don't have to pick all that stuff. But boy, if you're going to do it, and you're going to freeze this, and you're going to can that, and you're going to eat this, and you're going to do your very best to try to find somebody to take all this squash off your hand, you know, whatever. Serving God is like that. There are times where it's not easy. There are times if you're going to do it for 20 years. There's going to be times where you're going to have to just grit your teeth and just do it and just keep at it and do it. Serving God requires that endurance, that patience. When we plant something, we never really know what's going to happen. We just have to wait and see. I was thinking way back, it never would have occurred to me to wonder, will Tom serve as treasurer for 20 years? I would never have thought of that. It would have never even occurred to me. That would have meant, at the time, when we first asked him, that would have meant that he would have had to serve until I was 65, and I was never going to hit 65. It's amazing how time works like that. You just keep on going. Serving God is seasonal. People of God, or people of faith, if you will, people who follow God and serve the Lord, they do not serve because they get paid. They serve because they have a sense of debt. People who serve God do not serve because of what they get out of it. People who serve God consistently keep reminding themselves that they owe God. And there's a love debt that they want to just keep on giving back to the Lord. The person that gets discouraged with serving or discouraged with going to church or reading their Bible or prayer, you know, whatever area of service, the person that gets discouraged and that begins to wear them out, or yourself, and wears you down, and you're tempted to just kind of slack off or take it easy, just remember that it's seasonal. I mean, there are sometimes you'll take your Bible and you'll open that, and I mean, it just is like God is sitting right next to you talking to you. And there's other times we're making our way through 1 Chronicles, and it's like, I mean, come on, all the begets. And it's like, I don't know who any of those people are, hardly. I mean, maybe 1 in 20, you know, and that sort of thing. But you just keep on plowing through, and you read in the New Testament, you read in other passages, and that sort of thing. It's very easy to get discouraged. 20 years. Serving God is seasonal. There's something else here. Look at the next three words in our text. Be not weary in well-doing. Why? Because in due season, we shall reap. Oh, you need to hold on to that. One day, I don't mean to embarrass Tom, but one day Tom's going to look at Jesus. And no one will ever take away from him the fact that he served as treasurer in this church for 20 years. That is quite a record. And I think that's awesome. Serving God is worth it, is the idea. Not only is it seasonal, it's worth it. We shall reap, God says. We shall reap. When? That's a question we don't know about. But God promises a harvest. Let me read you several verses along that line. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Way back in the Old Testament says this, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." You say, what does that mean? I don't know. But it's something really positive. Right? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You got to hold on to promises like that if you're going to serve and understand that the victory and the triumph is the fact that we shall reap. We don't know when we'll reap or all that we'll reap. And some of the reaping will not be until after death, until we see the Lord. It may not even come in this lifetime, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Jesus said this, "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." You see, the God who feeds the birds also pays attention when we do something for somebody else. He shall in no wise lose his reward. You see, I don't even remember all the different things. God does. That's why we serve him. It's worth it. Matthew 25. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." It's a wonderful narrative that our Lord was teaching there. And he wasn't teaching primarily about rewards, but clearly he endorsed this concept. How about this one? Luke 6:35. "Love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again." Why would anyone do that? Take that apart and think about it. Love your enemies. In the context of loving your enemies, do good to them is the idea. And beyond that, lend, hoping for nothing again. But that's not where the verse ends. It goes on and says, and your reward shall be great. That goes back to what we looked at this morning, the idea of humbling ourselves and recognizing that any good that we have or any good that we can do, we give God the glory for it and thank him for it. You say, well, yeah, but I had decisions. Yeah, you did, but you couldn't do anything if God didn't keep your heart beating. Let alone keep your heart sensitive to him. How about this amazing verse that we've often looked at, the last verse in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, steady, unmovable, not knocked off your course, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No one will ever serve God without at some point looking back and being glad they did. It's worth it. Doesn't always seem like it. We're not always encouraged by others about it, but it's worth it. That's the triumph of serving God. The timing, in due season, it's seasonal. The triumph, we shall reap. It's worth it. But then there's this temptation, these last four words in our text. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if, oh, there's a word, if we faint not. Why would God say that to believers? I thought our eternity was secure. I thought this was guaranteed. I thought we had eternal security in Christ. What is this idea of if we faint not? Why is the apostle writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to these believers in these churches in Galatia area there and writing to them and challenging them to not be weary in doing what's right, in doing what's good, in well-doing? Don't be weary in that. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, there's a temptation in serving God. And the temptation is to faint. Why would a person faint? Because it's hard. That's the reality of it. It's tough to serve the Lord. It's tough to serve him. It is, let me put it a different way. It is easier to quit than to keep at it. Do we recognize that? That's true for all of us. It's easier to just quit. It's easier to just kind of switch gears a little bit, you know. I don't think I'll do that anymore. That's not to say that if you get involved in a particular ministry that you have to do that ministry for the rest of your life or you're AWOL. Not at all. It's wise to recognize that, you know, if you don't have the energy you used to have to do certain things, you know, it may be that someone else should cut the grass and maybe you should rock a baby in the nursery. Well, I don't, whatever, you know. But the idea of just saying, no, I've done enough. You don't want to do that. Why? Because it's worth it. Because you're not serving merely the church. You're serving the Lord. But the temptation is to give up because it's easier to quit than to keep at it. It's easy to lose heart for serving God. It's easy to get kind of all challenged up at a certain point in life and to really take on something and really work hard at it. But then it gets away from spring into kind of the hot dog days of summer, and the work just begins to compound, and it just becomes overwhelming, and it's just like, oh man, let's just throw in the towel. In vegetable gardens, many more people start them well than finish them well. It's just a lot of work, and that's true with anything. It's true with a car. We heard the other day about our brother and how when he had this vehicle they bought, and he said they're still driving it, but when they got the vehicle, at first he said, there's no eating. You remember he mentioned that story? He said, there's no eating. We don't want you kids eating in this car. We don't want you drinking anything in this car. We want to keep it really nice. And they did for several months. But the newness wears off. And that's true with your house. That's true with your car. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It's the way it is. But we live in a day today, don't we, where people's the newness of their marriage wears off, and so they just go get another wife, another husband. That's the way it is today. The newness of their job wears off, and they, you know, that boss got a little old, and it got a little tedious. It's like, I'm just going to quit. That's not to say that you need to stay in the same job for the rest of your life. If God opens a door and you prepare yourself and you can get a better job, you can get paid better, have better hours and better conditions and more ability to advance, by all means, you know, you pray about that as God leads. But to just quit because they don't like it, very common today. And of course, that happens in church, or people think about themselves and they say, I'm leaving, I'm walking away, I'm going to go somewhere else, I'm going to do something else, or whatever. And it's not even to go somewhere, it's just to get out. That's not real good. And this man never did that. 20 years. What a blessing. If it's tempting to stop serving God, if it's tempting to faint because it's tough, how can we deal with that temptation? How do we overcome? I'll give you three quick points. The first one is this. We need to prepare for the temptation to faint. We need to prepare for that. We need to be aware that God talks about this and says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not, and prepare for that temptation so it doesn't take us by surprise. How do we do that? Humility. How is it that we can observe in the Bible people giving up? How is it that we can even observe among our friends and loved ones and fellow brothers and sisters in church people just fading? And yet somehow don't think it'll happen to us. Come on, my brothers and sisters, we are vulnerable. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. We need to prepare for the temptation and to have the humility to recognize that that can happen to me. I can lose heart. I could be discouraged. Peter's just such an amazing illustration of that, where you know, I mean, you know, the amazing situation in his life where he told Jesus the night of his betrayal, I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. I would die with you and for you. And Jesus said, you're not going to hear another rooster crow before you deny me. Three times in public, in the face of public pressure. Why did that happen? Because something happened in Peter's life. Some situation happened. You know what it was. And he observed life just falling apart from anything that he ever could have conceived would have occurred. In his experience and in his knowledge and in his history, it was like, I'm going to press on. I will persevere. I will not quit. But he did. And we need humbly, and that harkens back to this morning too, we need humbly to recognize that there's no sin that's ever been done that's outside of our potential to do. And if God let us go, we could find ourselves on some ash heap somewhere, under a bridge somewhere, where we have lost heart and lost hope and lost health and lost family and lost any interest in God's word and prayer and lost our faith, and we're kind of on the outside looking in to what right now we can take for granted. We need to prepare for the temptation to faint and be humble. We need to perceive the temptation to faint. Discernment is essential. Recognize what's going on when it's like, I've just had it. I don't want to do this anymore. I've just had it. Well, you know, no, wait. If you need a change, if you need a break, that's fine. But you want to always perceive that there's a devil that doesn't want you to serve. I wonder how many times Tom has prayed or thought or considered or maybe talked to his wife and I wondered if he should keep on or if he should just kind of walk and give it up. And who would have blamed him if he did it only one decade instead of two? But he didn't. And that's why we meet tonight, to thank him. We need to perceive the temptation to faint and recognize what's happening and recognize that it gets to be grueling and it can get to be difficult, and there's certain seasons that are more difficult than other, and to perceive that, to discern what's happening, and to hold on and to seek to do the will of God. And then, in the end, how do we persevere? How do we continue on? How do we resist the temptation? Not just prepare for it, not just perceive the temptation, but also, at some point, we just have to persevere through it. You just have to fight. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to faint. It's one or the other. It's interesting, there's no middle ground here. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. We either keep plowing or we don't. We either put our hand to the plow and just keep plowing, or we look back and we're not fit for the kingdom of God, is what Jesus counseled us. We put our hand to the plow. We stay in the field where God put us. If there's fruit, great. If there's roots, great. If there's rocks, great. If it rains, great. If it doesn't rain, great. If it's hard soil, great. No matter what happens, just keep plowing. No real secret. Just don't quit. Just keep fighting instead of fainting. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Serving God is the purpose of life. That's why we're here, to serve this one that we love, to be able to give the life that is a gift from him, to give that life back to him, and to have our lives be used in his service. That's the purpose. So why don't we do it? It's because it's a battle. It's a fight. But one day we'll see Jesus, and when we do, we'll be glad that we kept serving. And when we see him, we will be disappointed if we took the easier way out. Let us serve. How are you doing with serving God? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.